You guys like that I'm rocking the toddler pony today? Did you know that's what it's called?
I did not know that was what it was called.
Yeah. I didn't know.
It's like a little sprout of a ponytail, as if I was a toddler and didn't have hair up top. Gotcha.
I appreciate you saying rocking. So I thought that that was a prosthetic, but I could not be sure. But, you know, rocking.
I didn't say it wasn't.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. We should put that on a poll. On one side, we got the toddler, L. Duncan. On the other side, we got Mike Golick Jr. I thought his shirt said overrated at first because it got Notre Dame stuff on it. Let's do television. I got smoke for everybody.
Okay. This is the show we're doing today.
Let's go.
Do you have faith that the Suns can force a game 7?
Just imagine being Chris Paul. You are going into the biggest game of your career. Your back is against the wall. You are attempting to stave off elimination. And they sent Scott Foster to referee this game, right? Like the one guy, one player and one referee that we know there's a thing of in this day and age. And Adam Silver really sent Scott Foster here. We might see Chris Paul at the end of the game do something between a temper tantrum and hitting Scott Foster in the jaw. Now, do the Suns have a chance to win this game? Yes, they do have a chance. It's not as though they played their absolute best in the game against Milwaukee and then lost. They shot as well as you could expect that they could, but they got nothing from the bench. If they get something from the guys who aren't starting, then I do think that they have a chance. The problem is the dudes on the bench tend to play better at home. They are now going on the road and playing against a team that is much more battle-tested, and that's hard to feel like Milwaukee when they're this close that they can taste it and they got it at home. Isn't going to put this away. But it's not because the Suns don't have a chance. I just think that Milwaukee's going to pull it out.
I love that Scott Foster has become the Voldemort to Chris Paul's Harry Potter, right? It worked out for Harry Potter in the end. It took like 7 movies, but he finally prevailed. We'll see if this is their Deathly Hallows moment. Here's the discouraging part, because I know that everyone at home has heard ad nauseum at this point, like, there have been 3 teams that have come back in 1-6 after going down 2-0 in a series, and the Miami Heat were the last one. So this is obviously very possible for the Bucks to do. While I think it's very difficult to beat a team, any team, 4 straight times, the discouraging part, I think, for the Suns is that they shot 50% from the field. They shot 50% from the 3-point line. They shot 90% from the charity stripe. They are the first team to do all of that in a playoff game and still lose the playoff game. Like, if you look at games 4 and 5 for the Suns, they weren't terrible, and they are just not in these games at this point, but they can absolutely win. There's a few things that need to happen. They need to play some defense. I think Mikal Bridges is the only Suns defender that held a Buck to under 60% shooting, and most importantly, they've got to figure out what's going on with DeAndre Ayton. How bad does this Dario Saric injury look now? It has messed with their rotations. And lastly, Devin Booker has been phenomenal. We've been watching him stuff the stat sheet, but we're so impressed by gaudy numbers, right? 42 points a game, that we are sort of looking over the most glaring one, that in fourth quarters in this series, he has no assists. None. He's not dishing. He's not facilitating. And when that happens, the Suns don't win. So Devin Booker has to find a way to be a bigger part of this game, despite putting up 40 points, especially if Chris Paul is not going to show up as he hasn't in the last couple games.
Oh, before we get into the analysis here, let me muster every ounce of nerd gusto I hand into this. Well, actually, there were 8 Harry Potter movies.
There he goes. I knew it. I knew you were a Harry Potter guy.
And just think that, you know, they split the last one into 2 movies. It's not a big deal, but just for our sake, for the internet's sake, we'll make sure we got the facts out here for the people. Now, as far as this game, I don't believe that the Suns can force a game 7 in this game. You guys both mentioned it. They've shot the lights out of the gym in this series. I think I saw that their effective field goal percentage for this series would have been just behind the Brooklyn Nets for the regular season. That is how potent they've been from the perimeter. You can't fix the fact that you're just getting out-bigged and out-bodied in a lot of these spots. Like, they're learning that, oh man, this Giannis guy, when properly armed and motivated, can not only get to the rack at will against the lineup we've trotted out here defensively and some of the difficulties DeAndre Ayton's had in that regard, especially in the fast break, but he's also been a monster on the offensive glass, as has this entire team. They've flipped the math by going out here and just being aggressive and dominating possessions, and that's the one thing. If you told me we had the Chris Paul from the rest of the playoffs in this series, I might feel a little better about it. But the lack of Devin Booker being an assist guy in these games, and Chris Paul just not having the control that we've been used to seeing from him, especially in critical moments here, I struggle to see how the Suns are going to muster up enough possessions to somehow, what, shoot even better than the unholy tear that they've been on.
I got to say, though, I kind of want the Suns to win game six. And then I kind of want Milwaukee to go down there to win game seven. And right. I want it so that the Bucks can win. And then Giannis can go find that Herb that's out there counting hundreds on camera. And I'm like, somebody who works here thinks that's the coolest thing in the world. I want to see him get robbed, but not by anybody, by Giannis. I want to see Giannis just take that money up out his hand.
What does it tell you that Aaron Rodgers turned down an extension from the Packers?
Thank you, Adam Schefter, on a slow news day. He put us up on some game that the Packers had added a two-year contract extension. Put that in front of Aaron Rodgers. It would keep Aaron Rodgers there for 5 years. He would be the highest paid player in football. And Rodgers said no. And Schefter said that that's a sign that this isn't about money. And while I agree that it isn't about money, it can still be about money. Like, I ain't heard nothing about exactly what form of money whipping they tried to do there. You just might need to put a little more gusto on it and maybe it'll happen, but the dude doesn't want to play for the Packers. That's what we know. He's going to play for the Packers this year, though, right? Like, what they're not going to do is con him into agreeing to stay in there even longer when he already wants to go. And that's kind of the irony of this. For football teams, generally the way to make things better is to offer dudes money and offer them security. That's the trick that works every time because you need those things when you get into car crashes for a living. Except Aaron Rodgers don't need your stinking money and don't want your handcuffs. They don't really have a play. All they're going to be able to do on both sides, they're going to have to play out this year and then see what happens from there.
Yeah, if you're the Packers, you better hope you just win the damn Super Bowl this year because outside of that, there's really nothing else. Aaron Rodgers understands that next year, that $17 million dead cap hit makes this whole song and dance a lot easier for everybody involved to get him to the places that he wants to go. Because, and this is no disrespect to Adam Schefter, it's never been about the money. We understand. We heard it from Brian Gutekunst himself at the draft this year saying there were communication issues last year, the year Jordan Love was drafted, that we could have probably handled better. We know that this is probably a sum total of slights here, but we also know Aaron Rodgers at this point, we saw it leading up to the match, understands what the rest of us do. He's probably playing for the Packers this season. So what does he want in the meantime? Maximum pain. Because we're getting ready for Mark Murphy, their CEO, to have to stand up in front of a bunch of shareholders at the end of this month and answer questions about Aaron Rodgers that he won't have to have any involvement. So there's pain there. I mean, they just sent a message to Jordan Love. This report leaking says that, hey, we were willing to be done with you if it meant keeping Aaron Rodgers around here and happy for another 5 years on the other side of this 2021 season. So now they got to manage that for a quarterback that's already in a hell of the Packers and Aaron Rodgers creation. So I think Aaron Rodgers understands I can show up at the very end of training camp before week one and still ball the way I'm used to, still have that first quarter of the season to work this out. And he just wants to burn this thing up knowing I'm probably not going to be here in 2022.
But at least we've answered that because for the last few months we've been saying, is he going to even play this year? And it seems like the answer is yes. I just feel like the last few months I keep saying, where have I seen this story before? And I realized it hit me. This whole saga has big, like, waiting to exhale energy, right? Like, I can imagine Aaron Rodgers as he's watching Gutekunst do these, like, GM meetings and talk to the press, and he's, like, somewhere watching, and he's saying to himself, I would stop breathing if you told me to, and now you're busy loving someone else. 16 years out of my life, and I've got nothing but this ring left to show. I should have left your ass a long time ago.
Mike, what you got?
Anyway.
Follow it up. Go ahead. It's on you. Tell me about that.
Listen, I knew this was just a long con to get to the point where Elle was singing on air here. I'm not under any guise of anything else, and I appreciate it.
My point is that he's the Angela Bassett character. Bo, you've seen this, right? Like, he's like, except for in this case, Angela Bassett was mad and incensed that her husband was essentially leaving her for a white woman. And in this case, Aaron Rodgers is just mad that it's a younger quarterback. They need a grand gesture. Like, they need some kind of disgusting gesture. And I'm not talking about boombox outside of his window groveling. I'm talking about, like, Captain America skywriting, we're sorry, while Thanos actually hands him the Infinity Stones. That's what needs to happen here. But I actually don't think that it's irreparable, because when you want to just move on from a situation, you don't do what he's doing. You don't play these games. I'm a woman. I know. When a woman's fed up, it's an actual wrap. I think there is still an opportunity here for them to meet in the middle. I just think someone's going to have to get fired for that to happen.
Yeah, so I say, what's Aaron Rodgers going to set on fire? That becomes the question. Like that's one thing about making the Angela Bassett analogy. Something has to get set on fire.
Well, their organization, naturally.
Ah, fair.
Up next on HQ.
the truth is he's right. Like, we talk a lot of things about what people are willing to do to win and how people are willing to go too far in some cases to win. The vaccine is not even close to that. Like, on the list of injections that people have been willing to get to try to win in football, the vaccine is probably the safest one that anybody has ever come up with.
What do you make of Michael Irvin's comments that unvaccinated players don't want to win badly enough?
Okay, so for you younger people who may not remember Michael Irvin, Michael Irvin was one of the greatest wide receivers of all time, and you may remember some of the off-the-field stuff, but the one thing that everybody always said from Troy Aikman on down, nobody was more dedicated to winning and willing to make whatever the sacrifice it was to win than Michael Irvin. So he did an interview with Todd Archer of ESPN where he looked at teams that hadn't met that vaccination threshold and looked at players and said, if you are not getting that jab, I question how badly it is that you want to win. And I didn't hear any audio of this, but you could hear Michael Irvin saying this stuff and you could hear the way he's going about it. And the truth is, he's right. Like, we talk a lot of things about what people are willing to do to win and how people are willing to go too far in some cases to win. The vaccine is not even close to that. Like, on the list of injections that people have been willing to get to try to win in football, the vaccine is probably the safest one that anybody has ever come up with. And I do wonder who it is that might hear that and then change their mind about the way that they are approaching this, because we are in a swirl of people getting all kinds of information from all kinds of people that you should never, ever listen to. And in many cases, the guy you probably should never, ever listen to is Michael Irvin. Except for this one, right? Like, he is the voice of reason here. And hopefully somebody will hear that and be like, you know what? You got a point. Because I don't care what your reason is for getting that vaccine. Please do that before they lock us back in our houses again.
So it's interesting. I've been talking with Kimberly A. Martin. We do a podcast together, First Take, Her Take. And she obviously is an NFL reporter. And she talked about how recently there's been this sort of groundswell privately. Like, Cole Beasley's obviously been very public about being anti-vaccinations and how oppressive they are and whatnot. But she said that there's this sort of groundswell of players that have yet to be vaccinated that feel like at first it was a choice and it was truly a choice. And now they're feeling very pressured and they're feeling bullied and they're feeling shamed into getting vaccinated, and that essentially that is now turned into why they have some hesitation about getting vaccinated. To me, that's actually really hard to swallow. I would be much easier to believe or at least offer some sympathy for someone that says, I don't want to do it, I have concerns medically or whatnot, than someone that doesn't want to do it strictly and purely out of pride, which it sounds like some players are doing. They're literally hesitating to get in the vaccine because they don't want Big Brother, the NFL, telling them to do it. I want to do what I want. That sounds like Cartman from South Park. That's crazy to me. I still believe it needs to remain a choice. With that being said, just like every other situation in life, namely going to school, if you choose not to vaccinate your children, that is up to you, but they can't go to regular school. And in the same way, the NFL is doing that. You don't want to get vaccinated, fine, but you will not enjoy some of these special privileges, and I don't want to hear a thing about it.
Yeah, I think, Elle, that dynamic you mentioned between the league and the players is something we always have to keep in mind in the backdrop of all of this. But the bottom line is they made it a football decision. What's interesting about hearing this from Michael Irvin is you could say this in a lot of ways about the player today versus the players of Michael Irvin's era, in the things they were willing to do in the name of winning and wanting it bad, and how a lot of those things have been undone by information. Like, we have a group of players now that have enough information about things like concussions, about things like opioids, to now make more informed decisions about their bodies. And they're getting enough money early on to usually say, hey, if this is something that's really going to affect my long-term health, I'm ready to call this quits. They're approaching the game in a lot different way overall. And so the idea that the information that they are getting about something like the vaccine that is a net positive for their health and safety wouldn't be well received kind of runs counter to all that, for all the reasons that we know and all the things that we know this has really become about. It is worth noting, I saw Tom Pelissero over at the NFL Network say about a week ago that 70% of NFL players have at least one shot, which is right about the national average. But bringing this all the way back to Michael Irvin's point, once you make this a football decision, average is hardly ever the thing that's accepted, especially in these circles. And so now that it is a football decision, I thought this was going to be a conversation, quite frankly, we had more with college fans using this geared towards the players there, where they are used to, in a lot of different ways, trying to govern what those players do with their bodies. Instead, what we've had is this now take place from within the NFL fraternity, and I'll be interested to see from here on out if there is an uptick of guys thinking more and more the closer you get to camp about, man, do I really want all the restrictions that come with making a decision based on some things that this really isn't about.
Now, L, you made a point where you said, like, it needs to remain voluntary. I think it has to remain voluntary. Here's the difference. It has to remain voluntary because of slippery slope stuff, right? Like, you don't want to start making people put stuff in their bodies. But damn it, we really need these people to put this stuff in their bodies. Like, if it really comes down to it, we need them to make people get this vaccine. I'm talking about you too, person watching this. We need somebody to make you do this. But we have to make it voluntary. And that's why we're going to be back at home soon.
Did. You know what? When I said Deathly Hallows in my head, I was thinking Gojo will know if that's wrong. I don't remember if that was the last one.
And I think you also knew that I had no idea of any of it.
Here we go. Get ready.
Frank, get it.
Frank, I don't got it.
For the ultimate summer adventure. Disney's Jungle Cruise, rated PG-13.
If Mark, Mr. Cartoon Machado, didn't have the fighting spirit to draw out his passion, he never would have perfected the street look that made him a street legend. That's the fighting spirit. That's what makes a lion. Modelo, root for those with a fighting spirit.
What do you call a crunch wrap with double the seasoned beef, a crunchy taco, and a large drink for just $5? Dunno, but it better be grand. Or grande. It's the $5 Grande Crunchwrap meal, only at Taco Bell.
The world is on the attack. We need you.
Let's go.
Snake Eyes, rated PG-13.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, people like GEICO because it's just easy. Bundling, for example. You've got car insurance here and home insurance here. Why not? Zoop, put them together. Save even more. Some things are better together, aren't they? Like, tea and crumpets. You wouldn't bundle just anything. Like, say, a porcupine in a balloon factory. Now, that'd be a mess. I mean, for starters, porcupines are famously no good in a team setting.
GEICO. Save even more when you bundle home and car insurance.
When you order carryout, choose Domino's Carside Delivery. Check in when you arrive, and we guarantee we'll be headed out the door less than 2 minutes after your order is ready. If anything slows us down, your next pizza is free. Choose Domino's Carside Delivery and put our new 2-minute guarantee to the test.
If Philly Garcia listened to those who rejected him, he never would have made a name for himself, lining up some of the biggest names in pro sports. That's the fighting spirit. That's what makes a lion. Modelo, root for those with a fighting spirit.
Another one. Scratched $1 million off my checklist 3 years ago. At 2-0 to the one, I'm in a different mode.
Devin Booker from way downtown. Stolen by Holiday. And a cool ball falls again.
I gotta reach out, get them in and get them gone.
The Milwaukee Bucks are 1 win away from their first title in 50 years.
You know I live in the mist.
Suns Bucks, tonight on ABC.
2 out of 3 guys experience hair loss by age 35. Kinda scary. That's why I use Keeps. Keeps offers clinically proven treatments. And the sooner you start, the more hair you can keep. Get started for $1 a day at Keeps.com.
She who has rubbed the bottom will now be granted 3 wishes.
I wish for a new car, my dream house, and the perfect credit card.
As you wish.
Open Sesame!
I'm just messing with you. That's just a little genie humor for you. Look, just open Credit Sesame.
Credit Sesame?
With Credit Sesame, you get your free credit score, free credit monitoring, and tips to improve your score. You can even get a no-fee debit card through them that rewards you with cash when your score goes up.
I wish for Credit Sesame.
Whoa,
get your free credit score today.
Mom's gonna kill us.
Gorilla super glues. Of course.
Gorilla has a fix for every project. Original brush and nozzle and ultra control gel for the toughest jobs on planet Earth.
Time to play the game that has literally no idea what we're going to talk about when the finals are over. Do you question?
Aaron Rodgers. We're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers every Fair. Day. You give us topics and events and we question them.
J.
Do you question if this Mets play is worse than the Mets play from yesterday?
So this is interesting because the Mets are in first place, but the last couple of days they've been kicking it like it's 1962. We're going to take you to the weekend. You guys may remember this. I did not know that after ball goes foul, it could come back fair. And apparently Tywin Walker did not know that either. He slapped the ball away. And that's two runs.
But nobody, I mean, they're just all standing there.
Yes.
Go get it.
Nobody realized that the ball was still going. Nobody stopped and said, hey, you know, these guys are all running around the bases. Just in case, maybe we should do something about this. Nope. Now, let's see what happened yesterday with our friend Luis Guillerme.
He grounds this one to short. Guillerme's going to firmly draw.
Oh.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Wow. Oh, man. Do you do that in practice? Like, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, that play he tried to make there, does he make that in his dreams? Like, has he been practicing, I'm going to be able to pull that off? Because he can't even get the ball into his hand.
Yeah, I don't think this is like the Ray Allen three-pointer where he's practicing laying down and then running the line there. That seemed more like Kevin from The Office just spilling chili everywhere and trying to recover as best he can.
Great reference. That was amazing. He spent so much time on that chili, too. Yeah, that was pretty terrible. But a reminder as you watch all of these awful plays that, well, the Mets won both of those games despite going down huge to begin, and they're actually winning a terrible division. That team is beating four other teams in a division.
Oh, okay. Unreal. I see where you went there, because I was about to say it's 162 games. I don't give a damn if they won. That's what I care about right there. They can win 20 games in a row. That ain't going to make this show. But you do that every day, you'll be stars messing with Highly Questionable.
Do you question if this is going to help Jameis beat out Taysom Hill?
Yeah, so Jameis Winston is in a quarterback battle, I suppose, with Taysom Hill to be the successor to Drew Brees. And, you know, people like to chuckle at Jameis Winston workout videos. Let's get a look at his latest work. All right. Now, I need you to know that the towel thing, that's not uncommon. I think adding the dog to the equation, that's the extra mile right there. What does that dog think they're doing, by the way?
Teasing him mercilessly here. I will say, this is like one of the first Jameis workout videos where I've actually gone, you know what, I can at least follow the logic. Like, they're trying to see if they can get the dog to look off here. Maybe you try it same way you try to do to a defender or something like that here. It's still a bunch of Jameis nonsense, but I was at least like, all right, there's kind of something here.
Oh, you guys are so mean and ridiculous. Like, the tweet is like, I've seen a lot of stupid, pointless workout videos, but this is the most pointless of all. And I love that Tom House, who is like a very famous throwing coach, is the coach of Tom Brady, formerly of Drew Brees as well, actually responded and was like, we used to have Drew use these speed towels all the time. Y'all leave Jameis alone.
Stop it. It's a dog
in his yard. He's playing fetch. If that was a golden retriever, it's because it's a pit. If that's a golden retriever or a golden doodle, you guys think it's adorable. If it's Justin Herbert and a chihuahua, it's so, so sweet. But it's Jameis and a pit bull, and all of a sudden it's weird. Is it a pit bull?
It is a little weird. Although I do, like, if you want to, you know, I'll try to play the movie reference game with you. We're a half step away from hearing Jameis in the workout video with, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a pass rusher.
Time to play the game that'll probably convince himself that it's Notre Dame's year by September. See or no?
You tell us what's on every television time. Tonight. I tell you, if we're intrigued. I was about to have us questioning stuff again. My bad.
Starting next week, Giants training camp.
All right, so basically, Saquon Barkley coming back from the ACL tear. That is what everybody is very curious to see about the Giants season. But before we get to that, we got Barkley here at a football camp talking to the youth. Oh, he ain't even talking to him. He's playing defensive back. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm all about this.
Oh.
I'm all about this.
Go.
All about this.
Oh, get him.
Oh, but he got
him. Oh, stun on him.
Hold on. I hate where this video cuts off because something tells me Saquon Barkley was heated. Heated. He was not playing around with that young man. He did not intend to give up a touchdown. Ellie, you intrigued?
Yes. And by the way, when I first saw this video, my first reaction was, oh, when did Darren Sproles get back in the league?
Wow.
He's so cute. He is cute. He was adorable when he would just run between the tackles and he would just get under people's legs and sprint down the field.
By the way, people like you are the reason that guys like Darren Sproles are always ready to fight. Mike, are you intrigued?
I am intrigued. And people like, oh, the reason why guys like Darren Sproles, no, I got to make it to the league, because if not, it's a lifetime of that without the paycheck to come with it.
As a man once told me, being that height is a constant fight for credibility. Sad but true. All right, that is our show. Check out L. Duncan on First Take. Her Take is a podcast she does with Kimberly Martin and Charlie Arnold. Check out Mike Golic Jr., 4 to 7 Eastern, Chenea and Golic, ESPN Radio.
Check out The Right Time with Bomani Jones, wherever you get your podcasts.